It's great to be with you again this morning. We'll be studying again just a portion of God's Word. In particular, we're looking at the words of Jesus on the cross. And if you think about the idea, these are the last words that Jesus spoke, and they're the words He actually spoke when He was on the cross itself. There's not going to be any other words or any other teaching of Jesus that's going to be more heartfelt or more emotional than these. And we can hopefully, in looking at the words of Jesus, you get even a feel for how important the cross itself was. We hear a lot today about accepting other religions, and we do hopefully honor all religions. But one of the ideas is almost like, well, it just matters how you live, and we need to take away maybe some of all these traditions and even the cross itself. When you take the cross away from Christianity, you don't have anything left. You go through the New Testament, you don't go very far in any of the books, any of the Gospels, or any of the letters, that you don't come upon the cross. The cross of Jesus is the basis of everything we believe. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is always before us. And as you go through the words of Jesus, the words He spoke when He was actually on the cross, hopefully you can see this, and the cross itself becomes maybe a little more real to us as we go through. I'd like to start this morning with the same passage I started last week. And if you look at this is actually well before Jesus goes to the cross. But Jesus said, and He said, "If anyone will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me." And that's what we talked about last week. But I want you to look at the end of this section this week. "For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" Now, sometimes we use that last word, you know, if you gain the whole world but lose your soul. And soul is sort of an abstract term. Here Jesus doesn't say soul, He says yourself. What does it gain if you gain everything in the whole world that you could think of, but you lose yourself? And that's really one of the ideas we see. And we'll see as we go through the words of Jesus on the cross. The idea of gaining self by giving up this world. This world offers an awful lot of things, but it doesn't offer the things that really matter. And if you strive for the things of this world, you lose the thing that really does matter, your very self. One of the ideas that we'll see today, hopefully, is the things that make us who we are. What makes us who we are? One of the things we'll see is the relationships we have with our families. We're going to talk today about honoring and valuing those around us, especially our parents, but our spouses, our children, all of those around us, because that helps make us who we are. And it's when we strive for just things around us, when we strive for those things that just please us, we lose self. We lose who we are. Look with me again at the scripture reading this morning. And we look at Jesus on the cross. And there's two sets of people here. We have four soldiers and we have four women. And I want you to notice the contrast that John brings in the view. He says, "When the soldiers who crucified Christ, they took His garments and they divided them into four parts, one for each soldier, and also his tunic. And they cast lots for his clothes." Here is Jesus on the cross, and everything He has been stripped away. Basically, the only thing Jesus owned when He went to the cross was a shirt on His back, and now that's been taken off. So He has given everything, and He's bare on the cross. And then the next section, He goes into contrasting these soldiers. The only people left with Jesus are four women and one disciple. "So the soldiers did these things by standing by the cross of Jesus where His mother, His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing nearby, He said to His mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And He said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took Him into his own home." So here's a contrast of the soldiers and four women and one disciple. We don't know where the rest of the disciples went. They scattered, sheep without a shepherd. But only John is left standing. And Jesus at this time, and you can think about this. Here is Jesus on the cross. And what is his mind? What does his thoughts go to? If there's ever a time in which Jesus, you think, might think about himself, it would have been this time. But Jesus' thoughts, even at this time, they don't go to himself. He looks down and he thinks about his own mother. And at that time, he takes care of his own mother. And he basically gives her to this disciple, and this disciple to take care of his mother. And John does. It says, from that hour, from that time on, John takes care of Mary as his own mother. Now you might even think about, where was Jesus' own brothers? Jesus had a number of brothers himself, but they weren't there. The only person that was there was John. And it's important sometimes simply to be there. And that's where John was. He was there. Sometimes we wonder, what can we do in certain situations? And sometimes there's not much we can do, but we can always be there. And that's where John was. He was there at the cross, and so he could take care of the mother of Jesus himself. A few years back, I was given a book, which I read more years ago than I can think about. The title of the book goes along with our lesson today. It said, do yourself a favor, love your wife. And it goes through the idea of loving your wife, and the inverse would be true, to love your husband. And the author goes through a lot of relationships, a lot of marriages. One spouse might sort of disappoint the other spouse. Maybe not live up to what they think, or not meet the needs of the other spouse, or for whatever reason, just drift apart. And the one spouse then has a tendency to ignore that spouse or even put them down. And through the book, he talks about the idea of relationships. And he says, if you want to bless yourself, if you want to do a favor, which one of us doesn't want to be blessed? Which one of us doesn't want a favor done to us? He says, if you want to have a favor done to yourself, love the other person. That's the point he makes. Not that they blesses the other person. You say, well, they don't even deserve it. Maybe they don't deserve it. That's not the point. The point is, if you want a blessing, it starts when you learn to love the other person. And by loving the other person, he means to honor and respect and value that person. When you start showing value to the other person, it is you that becomes blessed. And we'll see that as we go through, because that is a very scriptural idea. And it goes all the way back to one of the Ten Commandments that we'll take a look at. Honor your father and your mother. In Matthew chapter 15, the Pharisees were attacking Jesus. They often did. They often came up and watched what Jesus did. And when they did something they didn't like a whole lot, then they jumped on him. And that's really what happens in Matthew 15. But here, Jesus comes back to them. And notice what he said in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus answered them, why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah the prophesy when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. Now what is going on here is the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they knew the commandments to honor your father and mother. But they had gotten around it. And the way they had gotten around it, they said, well, I'm going to give all my earthly goods to the temple or to God when I die. Therefore, if I give anything over here now to my parents while I'm still alive, it's like taking away from God. And so they had gotten around this commandment. And notice, too, that when he says, honor your father and mother, he's basically saying not just be good to them or be polite to them, but take care of their needs. He's talking about the money needed to take care of them. When we talk about honor, we talk about respect. We talk about valuing the person. We talk about meeting the duties that we have to the person. And all of us have duties one to another. Jesus used this commandment as a way over in Mark. He says, and you do many other things like this. He could have used other commandments that they were breaking, but he chose this one, because it was a particular one but shows the idea of honor and respect that we're to give parents, and we're to give, as I think we're going to see, to all of our relationships. And when we talk about honor, we talk about the idea of value and respect that we should be giving and meeting the duties that we have, even one to another. And that's what Jesus brings out. Look over to Ephesians, where Paul uses the same one. And notice what Paul says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now this is quoting back from Deuteronomy, one of the Ten Commandments, and notice what is said in Deuteronomy. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that may go well in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Notice what this is saying. It says, if you honor your father and mother, why? What's the reason? Actually, it gives you three reasons to honor your father and mother. The first one is the command of God. But then he goes on down. Do you want to live long? Do you want to prosper? Now, you think about those two things. Which one of us, if you wanted to talk about a blessing given to you, wouldn't you want to talk about long life and prosperity? Isn't that what we strive for? You think about all the things we do for our health and the way we go to doctors, and we want to live a long time. You think about prosperity. Don't we want to prosper? What God is telling us and what Jesus is repeating and what Paul is repeating, you want to prosper? You want long life? Learn to honor other people. It starts with your mother and your father, your own parents. But the idea of honoring other people brings down the very idea of long life and prosperity, two of the things that most of us would say we would seek after. If you look over to the verse in Romans, in Romans 9, listen what Paul says here. Let love be genuine or sincere. Now, we talk about loving other people. Love needs to be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now, I want you to notice what he says. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, I know I'm commanded to love other people, but I don't necessarily have to like them? Have you ever heard that? I've heard people say that. Well, look what Paul says here. He says, love each other. How? With affection. In other words, you're commanded to like each other, whether you like it or not. You're commanded. We need to learn how to like each other. With brotherly affection, with that emotional attachment to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Now that honor is to one another. We're to honor everyone, but especially those relationships that are close to us. Our parents, our children, our spouses. You want to be blessed? Learn to honor other people. That's a very simple message. But it's one that rings through the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. You want yourself to be blessed? You want long life and prosperity? Learn to honor other people. Don't just be selfish in yourself. If you look at what the Pharisees were doing when Jesus basically attacked them for not honoring their father and mother, they were being selfish. They didn't want to take care of their parents so that they could have everything for themselves. It was basically selfishness. And so much of our problems come when we're selfish. We want just what we want. We want things our way. We just want what we want. And what the Bible teaches us is, if you want yourself to be blessed, learn to honor other people. Not look inward to yourself, but learn to look outward. You can think back to what God did. How did He show His love? For God so loved the world that He what? He gave the only thing He could give us, His own Son, to show us what love is and to show us what it means to honor and value other people. Have you ever think about the idea that God valued you when He gave you His Son? He showed you that you were important to Him because He gave you the most precious thing He could give, His own Son. To honor each other shows that we learn to value the other person. Is there anything that any of us desire more than to be valued by other people? There's a little story over in Genesis about this. If you look over to Genesis 19, there's a story of Rachel and Leah. If you remember, a couple of weeks back, we looked at Jacob. Jacob, whose name later was changed to Israel. He had two wives, Rachel and Leah. Rachel was supposedly very beautiful, and he loved her more than Leah, her sister, who says it wasn't very beautiful. It says Leah's eyes were dim. She wasn't very pretty. And because of that, Jacob gave his affection to Rachel. And so throughout this time, these two sisters really were vying for the love and value of their husband. And over in chapter 30 of Genesis, look at what happens. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Now Rachel was barren. As one way God sort of evened the scales between Rachel and Leah is he allowed Leah to have sons while Rachel eventually, of course, had Joseph and Benjamin. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. If you read this, you can just see in Leah her great desire to be valued with her husband like Rachel had been. Which one of us doesn't desire to be valued by other people? I think it's one of the most human things that we have in us is that we want other people to value us. We want other people to give us honor, give us respect. What's the worst thing anybody can do to us is just to do what? To ignore us. Nobody likes to be ignored, do they? Through the scriptures, we learn we ourselves are blessed when we can start learning to value and honor other people. That's why Paul says, honor each other. Learn to honor everyone. Outdo each other in honoring and valuing each other. And it goes all the way back to when Jesus was on the cross. Who did he value when he was on the cross? His own mother. Ever a time in which Jesus is thought wouldn't have been for anybody else but himself was when he was nailed and was hanging on that cross. And yet at that time, he could look down and value his own mother and take time, even the few words that he could speak, and talk and take care of his mother. Do yourself a favor this week. Learn to honor and value those around you. When we learn to honor and value all those around us, we start being like Jesus. We start being like God, who was willing to give his only son for us. Do you want a blessing? Do you want to be blessed? You want long life and prosperity? Then honor those around you. It's the simplest message, I think, ever in the scriptures. Go back and read Philippians chapter 2 and look at how Jesus put the value of us above himself. When we start valuing other people even above ourselves, then we start being like him. And we are the ones that are blessed. This morning, think about your life and how you treat other people, how you honor and value those around you. And just be a little more like Jesus in the honor and value that we place on others. If you've never given your life to Jesus, there's never a better time than this morning. Or if you've started that walk with him and haven't been faithful to it, why not come back to him today? If you need to come in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.